Deutschlandfunk Kultur. Stunde 1 Labor.
Almost every morning we wake up, the first thing that I do is open the news and wish that I won't see any new horrific headlines.
We're just waiting for this to be over. We know that none of us will be able to recover if the hostages won't come back. Only then we will be able to take ourselves out from this crazy situation.
It's dealing with it every single day. So it's almost 11 months that pass by, and it's still like it was yesterday for some people.
Der 7. Oktober ist für uns nicht vorbei. Ein Jahr nach dem Hamas-Terrorangriff von Johanna Behre und Jule Hoffmann.
Alle Personen aus dieser Sendung wurden im August diesen Jahres in Videocalls aufgezeichnet und sind bereits in einem ersten Teil zu hören, der im November 2023 ausgestrahlt wurde. Vor einem Jahr überfiel die islamistische Terrororganisation Hamas Israel. Vom Gazastreifen aus feuerte sie binnen weniger Stunden mehr als 3000 Raketen auf das Land. So viele, dass sie das israelische Flugabwehrsystem Iron Dome überlasteten. Kurz darauf drangen hunderte Terroristen auf israelisches Gebiet vor, mit Schnellbooten über das Wasser, mit motorisierten Gleitschirmen aus der Luft und über den Landweg. An insgesamt 29 Stellen durchbrachen sie mit Planierraupen und Sprengstoff den für unüberwindbar gehaltenen 6 Meter hohen Grenzzaun, der mit Sensoren, Kameras und Radargeräten ausgestattet ist. Anschließend überfielen sie Städte und Gemeinden nahe der Grenze sowie das in der Negev-Wüste stattfindende Nova Musikfestival. Was folgte, war eine Jagd auf Menschen jeden Alters, Geschlechts und jeder Herkunft. Ihre Taten filmten die Terroristen mit Bodycams. Vergewaltigungen, Folter, Brandsätze, Hinrichtungen. Insgesamt wurden 1200 Menschen ermordet, mehr als 3000 verletzt und rund 240 als Geiseln in den Gazastreifen entführt. An keinem Tag seit dem Holocaust sind so viele Jüdinnen und Juden ermordet worden wie am 7. Oktober. Der israelische Premierminister Netanyahu erklärte daraufhin die Zerschlagung der Hamas und die Befreiung der Geiseln zum Kriegsziel. Nach einem Jahr Krieg liegt die Zahl der getöteten Palästinenserinnen und Palästinenser, darunter tausende Kämpfer der Terrororganisation, laut Hamas bei etwa 40.000 Menschen. Ende September ist auch der Krieg mit der Hisbollah im Norden Israels und im Libanon eskaliert, der bereits hunderte Zivilisten das Leben kostete. Immer wieder gehen hunderttausende Israelis gegen die Regierung Benjamin Netanyahus auf die Straße, demonstrieren für eine Waffenruhe, ein Ende des Krieges und für die Freilassung der Geiseln.
We all became hostages' families. We are all in this limbo of in between.
Liri Roman, Architekt und Mitte 30, lebt in Givat Haim, einem Vorort von Tel Aviv.
This country is living two parallel times, because in one hand we carry on. I wake up, I go to work. I do my work from morning until evening, but then every day at the end of my working day, I go to the family assembly and I hold the signs and I shout in front of the offices of the government to not forget and that we're still waiting for them and to stop this war. We're torn between routine and how crazy things still are.
Jeden Tag wache ich auf, gehe zur Arbeit. Und nach der Arbeit halte ich Schilder hoch und rufe vor den Gebäuden der Regierung, dass wir immer noch auf unsere Angehörigen warten und der Krieg aufhören muss.
And just think of how stressful it is to wake up every morning hoping you won't see a relative in the morning news with every new headline saying of what happened last night. I feel like we're all united around this fear, around this horror. Every death is everyone's.
Was uns eint, ist die Angst. der Horror. Jeder Tod betrifft uns alle.
Als die Hamas am 7. Oktober 2023 Israel überfiel, war Liris Schwester Yaden Roman Gad mit ihrem Partner Alon und der gemeinsamen dreijährigen Tochter Geffen in Be'eri, einem Kibbutz in der Nähe des Gazastreifens. Alle drei wurden von Terroristen in ein Auto gezerrt.
The car started heading to the border, but our family's magical point was a specific scenario where the car had to stop because they saw an Israeli tank pass by. They were scared, so they stopped the car. Three of the armed people got off of the car and they stayed only with the driver who wasn't armed. So Alon and Irden decided to get out of the car and tried to run with Geffen in their arms. They ran a few hundred meters before the terrorists actually understood that they're running and started chasing them and shooting towards them. In that point, Irden decided to hand Geffen to Alon so he can run faster. And so he did. Alon was able to run and find shelter. He hides with Geffen for that whole day and night when they're in their pajamas, barefooted under a bush. But the last thing that Alon knows is a certain moment that he realized Yaden is no longer next to him. He takes a look back and he sees there on the ground with her hands on her head, trying to avoid the shooting.
Während Alon mit Geffen im Arm entkommen konnte, blieb Yaden in den Händen der Hamas. In den Wochen danach gaben Liri und seine Familie zahlreiche Interviews, reisten nach New York und Berlin und forderten die Freilassung Yadens und die aller anderen Geiseln. So hörte Yaden während ihrer Geiselhaft ihren Bruder Liri im Radio.
I didn't even think of the possibility of Yaden listening. A lot of times in interviews, they do ask us, and much more after Yaden got back and said that she did hear radio, a few other hostages said that. So interviewers always ask, if Yaden hears us now, if your relative hears us now, what do you want to... I didn't do that. I just talked about our current situation, about our current efforts, and I that had to stay at home because I'm in charge of Geffen now. This is what she heard, and this way she understood that Geffen is alive and at home.
Über das Radio erfuhr Yaden, dass ihre Tochter Geffen die Flucht vor der Hamas überlebt hatte.
Nach 53 Tagen, am 29. November 2023, wurde Yaden im Rahmen eines sogenannten Gefangenenaustauschs zwischen Israel und der Hamas freigelassen. Seitdem findet sie nur langsam in ihr früheres Leben zurück.
It's a hard one. It takes time. I can say that in a family perspective, she got back to being my sister. She's got back to being Geffen's mother. There are things that she was able to get back to carry already as part of her healing process. But the healing process is long and complicated.
Auch Liri versucht, in eine Art Alltag zurückzukehren.
Getting back to hope, I got back to my life. I got back to my apartment with my partner. I got back to work. I got back to being Liri again. There was a time, although we were very optimistic and we were optimistic throughout, there were times that I thought that this is going to be the new me. I will have to devote my life for the fight of my sister because she'll be there and how can I move on? But she's back.
Noch immer in den Händen der Hamas ist zu diesem Zeitpunkt die 40-jährige Carmel Gad, die Schwester von Yadens Partner Alon.
Eyal Nouri kämpfte wochenlang für die Freilassung seiner Tante Adina Moshe, die am 7. Oktober von Terroristen aus dem Kibbutz Nir Oz entführt wurde, nachdem ihr Mann vor ihren Augen erschossen worden war. Am 24. November 2023 kam sie zusammen mit 12 weiteren Geiseln frei und lebt inzwischen zusammen mit anderen aus ihrem Kibbutz in einer Zwischenunterkunft.
There is a corner in the house with all the picture of my uncle, but she doesn't feel belong. She told us a story when she went to the supermarket and she placed her credit card in the back of the pants. When she reached the supermarket, she wants to pay and the credit card is not there. And she was starting, I don't understand, I put it in the back of my pants, starting shouting for her husband, please help me, please help me. She didn't realize that in these pants, there are two pockets behind because the pants are not hers. Everything is new for her. New clothes, new furniture, new house.
Alles ist neu für die 72-Jährige. Als sie im Supermarkt ihre Kreditkarte nicht finden kann, verliert sie die Nerven, bis sie die Karte entdeckt. In der Tasche einer Hose, die nicht ihre ist. Ihre frühere Kleidung hat sie nicht mehr. Den Familien wurde geraten, ihren befreiten Angehörigen keine Fragen zu stellen. Adina fing von selbst an, über ihre Zeit als Geisel zu erzählen. Weil sie Arabisch kann, wagte sie es, die Terroristen anzusprechen, die sie bewachten.
Why going guns? You are scaring the kids. Because the first week they were hanging around with guns. So they listened to her. So they put the guns away. They had to sleep on very wet and humid mattress. And there was not enough mattress for everybody. So some of them sleeping all together, some of them standing. There was light only 1 hour a day. And the light was a bulb. Never see the sunshine. And she told us there was not enough food. So very worse human conditions.
Feuchte Matratzen, kein Tageslicht, kaum etwas zu essen. Adina wurde mit anderen Geiseln in einem Tunnel festgehalten. Das Tunnelsystem der Hamas verläuft unterirdisch kreuz und quer durch den Gazastreifen. In einem dieser Tunnel bat Adina die Terroristen, auf- und abgehen zu dürfen, um sich zu bewegen.
She got courage and went more and more and more every day. And then she heard Israeli Hebrew voices. So she found Yarden Bibas, the father of Clear Bibas, the young, you know, redhead kids. So she found him locked in one of the chambers in the next tunnel. So she thought, why is he locking there? Bring him to be with us. So only after like 5 or 6 weeks, they brought Yarden to be with them. And he was losing his mind there. Losing his mind, you know, like in a cage, you know, they came to say your wife and kids got killed. So it's like psychology terrorism.
In einem anderen Tunnel entdeckte Adina den eingesperrten Yarden Bibas, der getrennt von den anderen gefangen gehalten wurde. Bis heute werden er, seine Frau und seine beiden Söhne im Gazastreifen vermutet. Der schlimmste Moment war für Adina, als sie zusammen mit einem 4-jährigen Mädchen aus dem Tunnel geholt wurde.
The most horrible moment when they took her out from the tunnel. They put her in a jeep together with Emilia. Emilia is a child, about 4 years old. She was keep crying and people are throwing stones and vegetables and whatever and sticks on the jeep where they took them from the tunnel. And they didn't know where they are taking them. It's like a lynch where they're shaking the jeep and fighting and shouting and cursing and shots on the air. And all of them in the jeep were really terrifying. It was about 2 hours because they moved about 1 centimeter per minute. They could not move because the crowd was all around them. And only after 2 hours, when they saw the signs of the Red Cross, they understood they're going to get released and not going to get lynched.
Bis zum letzten Moment wusste Adina nicht, ob sie freigelassen oder getötet werden würde. Seit ihrer Befreiung setzt sie sich für die anderen Geiseln ein. Doch ihr psychischer Zustand ist labil.
She's laughing and she's crying, she's laughing and crying within 1 minute. So even though her body is here, but her spirit is still there, the people that were with her in the tunnel, some of them already announced as dead, but she's the last one saw him alive. So she understood that every minute counts, and every minute that we don't bring the other hostages back, they will lose their mind, they will lose their body, they will lose the spirit, some of them will die. We're never gonna get the same person back.
Woche für Woche geht Eyal, wie viele andere, für die Geiseln auf die Straße und demonstriert für ein Abkommen mit der Hamas.
We are living in a very unstable situation and we don't know what is going to be next. There is a lot of doubts about what is going to be tomorrow. But we are hoping that there will be a bright future, starting with replacing the government, releasing the hostages, building here a better place. You know? It's not the same life. We are not laughing like we used to laugh before. It will take some time, but the first thing that needs to happen is releasing the hostages, and then we can deal with the trauma of the other people, because the whole people are in trauma.
Wir wissen nicht, was morgen sein wird. Wir hoffen auf eine bessere Zukunft, eine andere Regierung, auf die Befreiung der Geiseln. Wir lachen nicht mehr, wie wir früher gelacht haben. Alle sind traumatisiert.
Liri Roman hat sich während der Geiselhaft seiner Schwester um deren dreijährige Tochter Geffen gekümmert.
For Geffen, she got her mother back, and it's like magic. How children are so smart when Yarden was away, that Geffen chose me to replace her. It's amazing how she could adapt again, find the place for Yarden all over again. How before, every time that we went to bed, she would ask about Yarden, where is she, what is she doing, if we're still looking for her, to make sure she has a hold of the story, of the status.
Während der Abwesenheit ihrer Mutter fragte Geffen jeden Abend nach ihr und versicherte sich, dass ihre Familie nach Yarden suchte.
Geffen has a very hard time now with goodbyes. Even just saying goodbye at the end of dinner when I go back to my home because I don't live with her now anymore. She always reassures, okay, but when we will see you again? And you will be in your house, right? You have your house and you'll be there. She always makes sure that she has everything under control because the most basic things that we can think of were taken from her.
Abschiede fallen Geffen seitdem schwer. An die Entführung durch die Hamas kann sie sich genau erinnern.
He remembers it very well. The way that they had to run and hide from the bad guys. The way that she was able to hide with daddy and mommy was lost. And she has these memories of this period, of the time where, do you remember that you had to take me from kindergarten because mommy wasn't here? It's half nostalgic, half always making sure that she can bring it up. That it's not a dark period in history. And we're trying to always hug it and remember that and also help her because it's part of her healing and treatment to touch those pain points. Yeah, when we really missed mom and we were looking for her, but even when she was away, we talked to her, we agreed on meeting her in her dreams. It's really hard to help her not being traumatized out of this. I don't want it to be something that we can talk about in the future.
Liri versucht seiner Nichte das Sprechen über die Entführung und die Zeit der Abwesenheit ihrer Mutter Yarden zu erleichtern. Vor dem 7. Oktober hat Yarden als Physiotherapeutin gearbeitet. Bis heute ist sie nicht in ihren Beruf zurückgekehrt.
Everybody could interpret it the way that they want, but Yarden didn't get back to work and she can't even imagine getting back to work. I guess that it's maybe also part of what Yarden does. Yarden is a physiotherapist, so she helps others. She needs to be in contact with strangers. She needs to introduce herself every time from scratch. There are a lot of small little bits that we don't think of, that all of a sudden for Yarden, it's obstacles. As much as she's smiling, as much as she wasn't harmed and she has all her body parts, she's not whole. Yarden didn't yet get to be exactly how she was in October 6th. She would probably never be the same person.
Yarden ist körperlich unversehrt, aber nicht die Person, die sie vor dem 7. Oktober war. Durch die mediale Aufmerksamkeit wurde sie in Israel zu einer öffentlichen Figur, was nicht leicht für sie ist.
Yarden is the most private person. And one of the main things that she still held was walking anywhere in Israel and being pointed or being hugged or being paid for in a restaurant, which is all beautiful things, but she haven't signed up to a reality show. She didn't want that. So we actually decided to choose the places where the most relevant, sharing her story in front of politicians, people that may have an impact on a higher level. So when she walks in the street and goes to the supermarket, she will go back to being just her normal self.
Im Spätsommer 2024 ist Liris Familie immer noch in großer Sorge. Kamel, Jadens Schwägerin, ist seit mehr als 300 Tagen im Gazastreifen gefangen.
So the last sign of life that we have is from the last deal when Jaden got back home. People that came back from there said that they spent time with Carmel. This is what we can hold. There are no new indications. So it's been a long time, but for us, we can't let go of this. This is what we know. This is the status. She's still there. And we know that she's alive. We think for yourself how hard it is to wake up every day to go to work, thinking of a Carmel sitting there waiting to be rescued.
Ein letztes Lebenszeichen von ihr hatte die Familie bei der Rückkehr von Jaden im November 2023 erhalten. Andere freigelassene Geiseln berichteten damals, Carmel in Gefangenschaft getroffen zu haben. Die Vorstellung, was Carmel in den Händen der Hamas widerfährt, machte Liri und seiner Familie Angst.
We're always scared of what happened in those days. It could have been to her mental health. It could have been to her physical health and situation, things that she has to experience, but also a war in Gaza and she's held there. And this is why we feel the urgency of how important it is to first get them back, because we know that people are slowly dying there.
Wir wissen, dass die Menschen dort langsam sterben.
Tali Enoshi ist 38 Jahre alt, verheiratet und hat eine kleine Tochter. Bis zum 7. Oktober lebte sie mit ihrer Familie im Kibbutz Cholit, das wie viele andere Kibbutzim von Terroristen überfallen und verwüstet wurde. Inzwischen ist Tali mit ihrer Familie in eine Zwischenunterkunft in einem anderen Kibbutz gezogen, in der Nähe von Cholit.
There's an office that the Israeli government appointed to build temporary RV neighborhoods for people who were displaced after October 7th, and that their homes are not going to be made livable in the near future. So there's a few communities of this magnitude were one of them, because most of our kibbutz has been decimated to the point that the homes either need to be completely rebuilt or demolished and new ones be erected. So we picked this kibbutz because it's a very big kibbutz and it's quite close to home. It's about 30 minutes drive to the Gaza Strip. So home is just 30 minutes away, which is sweet and sour because it's very important to us to be close to home so we can tend to the cows and to the fields and to the orchards. But it's also still a war zone over there.
Cholit ist noch immer unbewohnbar. Nur diejenigen, die sich um die Landwirtschaft und die Tiere kümmern müssen, sind regelmäßig dort. Seit dem 7. Oktober gibt es in Israel viele Binnengeflüchtete. Die Zahlen variieren im Verlauf des vergangenen Jahres zwischen 100 und 200.000. Die Regierung stellt für Vertriebene wie Tali Container und Wohnwagen bereit.
Als am 7. Oktober Terroristen der Hamas in Cholit eindrangen, verschanzte sich Tali mit ihrer Familie über 12 Stunden im Safe Room, im Sicherheitsraum des Hauses.
So once we realized that they were going in to houses and murdering people, because we heard our neighbors begging for help on all ends of the kibbutz, because there were multiple groups of terrorists targeting separate houses, killing people if they could get into your safety room, because the safety room door isn't designed to be able to stay locked from the inside. It's not a panic room. It's not designed for a terrorist attack. We were frantically thinking about what should we do? How do we barricade the door? And once we realized that was the situation, we knew we had to keep quiet and stay as invisible as possible.
Die Sicherheitsräume sind für Raketenbeschuss, nicht für Terrorangriffe konstruiert, sodass sich die Tür nicht von innen verriegeln ließ. Still und bewegungslos mussten sie den ganzen Tag dort ausharren.
So nah an ihrem alten Zuhause zu sein, ruft in Tali ambivalente Gefühle hervor.
Like I said, it's sweet and sour because for some peculiar reason, despite not having lived there for 10 months, it feels like the only place I feel at home. So on the one hand, it feels like I want to stay because it's my home. And on another, it's deserted. I mean, it's a ghost town. On one hand, I really want to go back. On the other hand, it's very distressing. It brings up all the memories.
Cholit gleicht einer Geisterstadt. Die Community ist seit dem 7. Oktober verstreut. Auch Gigi Lev, 63 Jahre alt, lebt wie Tali in einer Zwischenunterkunft im Kibbutz Revivim.
There's about two-thirds of us here and another third of us that are in the center of the country in Rehovot, because there are a lot of people that still can't even realize the fact to come down south. So they're in the middle of the country where they feel safer.
Viele sind im Zentrum des Landes, wo sie sich sicherer fühlen. Gigi kam vor 35 Jahren aus den USA nach Cholit. Wie Tali harrte sie am 7. Oktober mit ihrem Mann und einer Nachbarin im Sicherheitsraum ihres Hauses aus und überlebte so den Angriff.
The family that lives next to me on the left side, and myself and my husband and my neighbor that lived on the right side, we all came out of it okay, alive. Across the street from me, the first 1, 2, 3 houses, everybody was murdered. And the house next to it, somebody was murdered. The house in the corner, my neighborhood in particular, there were 9 people that were murdered. So they were all my neighbors. They were all my friends. They were all people that I lived with for years and years and years.
9 Menschen aus ihrer unmittelbaren Nachbarschaft wurden am 7. Oktober von der Hamas getötet.
You know, you have your good days and you have your bad days. Yesterday I had a very, very bad day. And I almost called to say that I can't do this because it's too hard for me. But I woke up this morning, I said, I'll try my very best. I wanted to be responsible and grown up. I'm 63 years old, but very difficult. So I'm just letting you know.
Mittlerweile war Gigi wieder ein paar Mal in Cholit.
Well, I go once in a while because my psychologist said it's good for me to go. So I go walk around. It's home. It's been my home for 35 years. So I just walk around and make sure it's still there. Look at the trees, look at the statues, make sure everything's still there. Make sure my home is still there.
Eine Rückkehr nach Cholit wird erst wieder möglich sein, wenn der Krieg in Gaza beendet ist. So lange sind alle in einem Zustand des Wartens.
We're waiting for some kind of a neighborhood that's being constructed for us, but that hasn't started yet, so the time frame isn't very clear. I presume we're going to be here for about 2 years, maybe a little more, because first we need the war to end, and we need it to end on a positive note, because we need to be able to go back home to live in peace. Obviously, we want everybody to live in peace. We don't want the Gazans to be hurt. So we need everything to end on a positive note so we can all be in that part of the country in peace, where we don't need to worry about the other side of the fence firing missiles at us. So obviously there's a question of security before we go home.
Nach Hause zurückkehren zu können, ist für Tali eine Frage der Sicherheit und eine des Vertrauens zu den palästinensischen Nachbarn.
They had people collaborating with them inside. People who were working in the Gaza Strip, in the settlements, working for a living because the border was open. People went in and out for medical reasons, for work. And we know for a fact that some of those people came in with another agenda in mind, to collect information, and which they later passed to the Hamas terrorists or the Islamic Jihad. And they used that information for years to design their operation, where they need to go, what they need to do. They were very accurate. The only way to get that information is by having internal sources. So good on them. I mean, I hope there's going to be somewhere where we can rebuild our trust along with our lives after this, because obviously not all the people who came into our communities were hostile, but there's no way of knowing who and where. And it's another point of consideration.
Auch Oren Zwada, Landschaftsarchitekt und Vater von 2 Kindern, hat am 7. Oktober sein Zuhause verloren. 22 Jahre hat er in Cholit gelebt. Nach einem kurzen Aufenthalt am Toten Meer ist er mit seiner Familie in eine Zwischenunterkunft in der Negev-Wüste gezogen.
Every day since we left in Gedi, me and my wife come back home from work. We close the door behind us and we just don't leave the house. We just don't feel we can. You know, there are nice people around us, but we can't make connection with people. So every day we spend in our home waiting for the evening to be over so we can go to bed. Usually we don't sleep good at night. We wake up in the middle of the night every day. And we're just waiting for the morning to arrive so we can go to work, do something, have a distraction. That's how we feel. We're thinking that maybe when we move to Revivim, things will be changed because we will be with our community. And, you know, we knew that community is a very strong way of life, the way we're living it, but we didn't know how we need it, how it supports us.
Oren und seine Familie warten darauf, dass sie zu Gigi und Tali in die Zwischenunterkunft nach Revivim ziehen können, weil ihnen ihre Community fehlt. Orens Sohn ist 6 Jahre alt und wollte lange nicht über Cholit sprechen.
He didn't want to talk about Cholit. He didn't want to hear about Cholit. Every time we talked about Cholit, he started to cry and said, "Don't talk next to me about Cholit. I can't hear it. I can't hear it." And so we had a special therapy for him. It's called therapy in a sandbox. You have a sandbox inside the therapy room, and you have many, many dolls, small dolls like these, small figures like that. And you have ships, and you have cars, and you have safe room, and you have an ambulance, and you have all kind of things. And he went to the sandbox, and the amazing thing is that he actually described what happened on the 7th of October. And he wasn't outside, and he didn't really, really know what was happening. But if I show you the picture, you wouldn't believe. So many skeletons and people dying and weapons everywhere. A horrific war zone. That's what he pictured. So many people are dead. Everything is dead around him.
Orens Sohn stellte in der Sandspieltherapie den 7. Oktober nach. Eine Szenerie voller Tod und Gewalt.
Im September hat in Israel das Schuljahr wieder angefangen. Gigi arbeitet als Englischlehrerin. Für ihre Schülerinnen und Schüler ist es wichtig, wieder gemeinsam zu lernen.
For them, it was very important to learn with their friends and to go back to their own school after being all over the country, divided. They wanted to go home. So many families came back to the area. And I walked into a classroom, and only after the lesson, the homeroom teacher said to me, "You know, his father was killed and his uncle was killed and his brother was murdered. And this happens every day because I deal with kids and adults from the whole Eshkol Regional Council. And it's heavy, really heavy."
Der Regierungsbezirk Eshkol, in dem Gigi als Lehrerin arbeitet, liegt im Süden des Landes, in der Negev-Wüste, und war am 7. Oktober am härtesten von Angriffen betroffen.
I teach junior high school and high school from 13 to 17, which is the hardest age you can possibly think of, because they understand and they lost friends and grandparents were murdered and all kinds of horrible, horrible stories, aunts, uncles. It's a small community. So everybody knows everybody. But then all of a sudden, I can go into a room and learn somebody else that I knew that isn't around anymore. It's there's so many stories, it just never ends.
Im Sommer wurden Oren und seine Familie zusammen mit anderen Familien von einer jüdischen Gemeinde nach Chicago eingeladen, um sich von den Ereignissen in Israel zu erholen. Einmal stießen sie in der Stadt auf eine Demonstration.
We were walking on the main road. And suddenly we heard screams and loud voices. And there was a demonstration of pro-Palestine, free Palestine, on the street. A lot of people. And they were all shouting very loud with the speakers. They were taking flags and they were waving the flags and they were blocking the road. And we were on the other side of the road. And actually my child started to cry, Berry, which is 6 years old, he started to cry. And my daughter was so afraid from this demonstration. And I was trying to explain to them that they are, you know, they have the legal right to do it, they are not violent or whatever. But it felt so intimidating. It felt so scary to be next to it.
Es fühlte sich bedrohlich und einschüchternd an. Mein Sohn fing an zu weinen und meine Tochter war verängstigt. Ich versuchte ihnen zu erklären, dass die Leute ein Recht haben zu demonstrieren.
It's good that they are demonstrating for the Palestinians. It's important, but demonstrate for the right cause. You know, free the Palestinians from Hamas. Free them and make them come closer to the Western world where people are equal, where people get the same treatment as they should.
Auch Tali war mit ihrer Familie auf Einladung der jüdischen Gemeinde nach Chicago gereist. Auch sie hat sich nicht sicher gefühlt.
Being in the US these days or so many other places in the world and being Jewish, being Israeli in the open isn't very easy and it's not very safe. So on the one hand, there's the sense of safety for not being in Israel. And on the other one, there's a sense of being on edge wherever you go. If you're able to articulate yourself in a way that expresses where you come from and who you are, talk in Hebrew and outside and where people can hear you, maybe wear a t-shirt with Hebrew letters.
Um nicht als jüdisch aufzufallen, hat Tali in den USA ihre kleine Tochter angehalten, in der Öffentlichkeit nur Englisch zu sprechen.
So, because she speaks English so well, I told her, you know, it's not very nice to speak a different language when you're around people that don't understand what you're saying. So we need to be courteous of other people and not speak Hebrew in public. Because if people hear a different language being spoken, they think we're talking about them. They don't know what we're saying. It's not very nice to them. So we're going to speak English wherever we are. And she was fine with it. We spoke English everywhere. So we didn't explain to her exactly why, but she managed to do it very well.
Die Rückkehr nach Israel war für Oren und seine Familie eine Erleichterung, trotz der Raketenangriffe auf Israel von der Hezbollah und der Bedrohung durch den Iran.
We cheered the pilot when we landed, and it was so good to come back to Israel, to know that at least in Israel we feel safe, in a way that you're a Jew and you can walk as you are, just as you are, on the street. But then, as we came back home, we had to deal again with intimidation of Iran and Hezbollah. And we are in a quite safe place where we are. But, you know, it's all the time in our minds. Should we let our children go outside? Shouldn't we? When the attack is going to occur? What's going on? Like, it's very hard to live under this threat.
Während einer Autofahrt hat Orens Sohn ihn kürzlich mit einer harten Frage konfrontiert.
We were driving, me and him, and he was saying, Dad, Cholit is close to Gaza? And I'm like, yes, of course. And he says, how did you arrive there? Why did you live there? And I'm like, I arrived to Cholit when I was 17 with a group of people. We wanted to do something on the kibbutz, blah, 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 blah. And I'm explaining to him. And then he puts himself like straight and he says, Dad, I don't understand why to go and live in a place close to Gaza. It's dangerous. It's irresponsible. What parents take their children to live in a place like that? That was like, so I didn't know how to answer that. Because, you know, people told me, you can say, we didn't know. But I'm thinking like, if I tell him we didn't know, he won't trust me next time that I'm taking him to a safe place. Like, how will he know that I'm taking him to a safe place? So it was a very hard conversation.
Cholit liegt nur 2 Kilometer von Gaza entfernt. Wie kann mein Sohn je wieder darauf vertrauen, dass ich ihn an einen sicheren Ort bringe?
Orens Sohn leidet seit dem 7. Oktober unter Albträumen. In den USA ging es ihm besser, aber kaum waren sie zurück in Israel, waren auch die Albträume wieder da.
When we landed in Israel, at the first night he came to our bed again and he said, I have nightmares, I'm afraid, I can't go back to sleep in my bed. So you see, he made the connection between Israel and his nightmares, you know, which is very sad to me.
Atwa Gutmann hat durch den Terrorangriff ihre Schwester verloren. Tamar Gutmann war auf dem Nova Musikfestival im Süden Israels und wurde von dort von Terroristen verschleppt. Am 7. Oktober hatte Atwa SMS-Kontakt mit ihr, danach verlor sich Tamars Spur. Anfang November 2023 tauchte ein Video der Hamas auf, das Tamars Ermordung zeigt.
My sister, we found a video And after that, they found some remains of her body, some bones, not all. We don't know what happened to her. They burned the body, and we think they decapitate because the skull is missing. But so we had a funeral, and we have a grave. It's a drive. It's a 7 minutes drive. My sister was murdered with four of her best friends, so they're all together, one next to another, and we go every week.
Die Überreste von Tamar sind auf einem Friedhof unweit des Wohnortes der Familie begraben, direkt neben den Gräbern vier ihrer besten Freundinnen. Atwa geht häufig zum Friedhof und trifft dort die anderen Angehörigen.
We became just a really big family all together. We talk almost every day. Just, you know, we became a family of grief. It's really helping to be together and not to go through it alone. In Israel, we still feel that we are in this situation. It didn't end. So there's a lot of processing.
Im Frühjahr 2024 verreiste Atwa das erste Mal nach dem 7. Oktober und besuchte eine Freundin in Rom. Es kostete sie Überwindung, ohne ihre Familie zu fahren.
When I had a flight, I was a little bit scared because we already knew that there is threats by Iran on Israel. I was talking to my husband maybe to try to buy tickets for my children to take them as well and to stay in Europe till everything ends. But he said no, and you know, we really can't afford it. So I went, and I was really excited about having time with my friend and having time for myself, but always was mixed with a lot of fear.
Die ständige Sorge darüber, was in Israel passiert, machte sie auf der Reise fertig.
Nothing is normal. We are much more on the edge. You know, everything is scary, and there was a really loud noise in the street, and I was the only person that was like, you know, that freeze. And I know that I'm not in Israel, so it took a second for me to understand that everything is okay. But people didn't move their head, you know. It's our mind is different right now.
Atwas Mann ist Reservist in der israelischen Armee und muss im Land bleiben. Atwa würde es bevorzugen, Israel mit ihren Kindern zu verlassen, aus Angst vor einem weiteren Krieg.
Auch Oren hat überlegt, das Land zu verlassen.
And I'm thinking the political situation is so, so bad that I don't know what will happen. We had all kind of thoughts about maybe we should move to another country. Maybe we should, but you know, it just doesn't feel safe. It's kind of like a trap. You're locked in a trap. You're a Jew and nothing will, you know. Sometimes it feels that to accept the thing that you're a Jew is very hard because if you go throughout history, the 7th of October, it's not the first time. It's not the first time that we're having the 7th of October as the Jew people. It's the first time as Israelis, but not as Jews.
Nirgends ist es sicher. Es ist, als ob wir in der Falle stecken.
You try to maintain a regular way of life. You try to, but we're living under war and attack for the last 76 years. You know, our grandparents, our parents, us, our children, we are living in constant war. And this was going on in my mind, you know. I was growing up in the 90s in a city next to Tel Aviv. And we knew that we can't go on the buses because the buses are exploding, you know.
Anfang der 90er gab es eine Reihe von Selbstmordattentaten radikaler Palästinenser. Gleichzeitig schien 1993 mit dem Friedensabkommen von Oslo der Frieden in greifbarer Nähe. Bis zur Ermordung des damaligen israelischen Ministerpräsidenten Yitzhak Rabin, zwei Jahre später durch einen israelischen Extremisten.
And the thing is that I don't see an end and I don't have a hope. I grew up in the 90s and I knew as a child that peace is just around the corner. Peace is gonna happen. We're gonna have peace finally. And throughout the years, you know, in the last few years, nobody talks about peace. Nobody. Nobody talks about peace and making, you know, this area of the world a better place. It's crazy. Our politics is, I don't know, it's shit. Benjamin Netanyahu is a bad leader. And, you know, who wants to see people suffering? Who wants to see people suffering next to his home? Gaza is next to our home, next to every Israeli home. But being intimidated, even in your own country, by Arabic people that might run you over or pull up a knife against you because you're a Jew or because you're an Israeli. It's not an easy feeling.
Oren ist verzweifelt angesichts der politischen Situation und Bedrohung und denkt, wie Liri, auch an die Menschen in Gaza.
People are not in their homes. People are suffering there. Suffering. I don't want them to suffer. I also want to tell you another thing. As long as they suffer, they have children that are going to grow with so much hate that we're going to have problems. You and I are going to talk in years from now. If we don't fix that from the root, from the source of the problem, giving everyone good life so they can focus in their lives and not focus on harming others.
Liri ist überzeugt, wenn nicht alle ein gutes Leben haben können, werden wir immer Probleme haben.
Nach einem Jahr Krieg fällt es Liri immer schwerer, optimistisch zu bleiben.
Time passes and it's not unusual anymore. We continue our lives and as hard as it is, before I was super optimistic and I could understand the complex of the negotiation and the complex of winning the war and the different meanings of it. Now, after a year, I have a feeling that we are just playing cards in politics. I can really see that, how I feel that it's not enough done to stop this. I feel like that we could have ended this war, that we could have ended the saga with the hostages. It's a roller coaster here in Israel. Every time in the news, there are new headlines saying there is a progress in the negotiation, but then it crashes. And you need to understand that the whole society here is riding this roller coaster. Everyone is all of a sudden getting prepared, getting excited, putting all the faith, all the trust, all the hopes, and then just like they're changing the headline. So no, so never mind.
Seit dem 25. August 2024 greift das israelische Militär Stellungen der Hisbollah im Libanon an. Im Libanon flüchten tausende Menschen aus dem Süden in den Norden. Am 1. Oktober hat das israelische Militär mit einer Bodenoffensive im Südlibanon begonnen. Am selben Tag bombardierte der Iran Israel. Bei einem Terrorangriff in Tel Aviv, Jaffa, wurden 7 Menschen getötet und weitere verletzt. Am 7. Oktober jährt sich das Massaker der Hamas auf Israel zum ersten Mal.
As far as grieving our losses, there's no particular way of doing that. We're mourning as a community. It's weird, but the community is the place where we feel the most connected and safe. Despite having all of us went through this trauma, so obviously being together is very important to all of us. As far as memory, obviously, every person has his own way of remembering the people we lost back then.
Me and my wife, we don't want to be around here. Yeah, we want to escape it. We want to escape the feelings that we're going to have if we stay here. It's hard. We lost so many people, and so many people are still being in captivity. Our friends, you know, it's hard.
Oren will nicht an den offiziellen Gedenkzeremonien teilnehmen. Genauso wenig wie Atwa.
So my family don't want to be in Israel at the 7th of October. I want to be in a quiet place. So I have an aunt that have an apartment in Cyprus. And me and my husband and my children are going to be there at the 7th of October to be together. Not to be in the National Memorial Day because it's hard. So we're going to be in Cyprus to remember it, but as a family and not as a country, because it's too big on us.
Liri Roman und seine Familie haben noch keinen Plan für diesen Tag.
Yilden don't want to be here. She don't want to be anywhere around anything. She wants to be in her little own bubble at that period of time. For me, I feel sometimes that I need to carry the flag, that I need to be a public figure again, to find the message that I want to share. And sometimes I feel one out of many broken people in the society that I want to cry with everyone in the crowd that I want to yell how we get back to this year and we're stuck in the same situation. We haven't finished yet.
Der 7. Oktober ist für uns nicht vorbei.
Half of us has paused and we're still in October 7th of 2023. So you don't know how you should act in October 7th, 2024. You need to be mad, you need to be sad, you need to go to graves, you need to go to a demonstration, you need to... It's very complicated, very. And what's even more crazy is in Israel, we already have discussions of the ceremonies. How could somebody write an agenda for a ceremony of 1 year mark for something that is still happening?
Wie kann man eine Gedenkfeier begehen für etwas, das noch immer passiert?
Auch für Gigi ist seit dem 7. Oktober keine Zeit vergangen.
I don't think this is something that after you can say even after 10 or 11 months, oh, I'm feeling so much better now. This is a process that's going to last for a really, really long time. I think even when if I live to be 80 years old, I'll probably speak the same way I'm speaking now. I don't see if I can, I can't see now how I would look at it any differently. But who knows?
For people hearing, it's just important to remember how complicated things are, that you need to hold hope in one hand, to be optimistic, to send all the warm wishes to our beloved ones. And in the other hand, you need to be mad. You need to fight for them. You can't stop. It's hard to smile and scream at the same time, to send wishes, but also to feel the most incapable. Time passes and it should have been fixed already. So it's hard to be just optimistic and to be just hopeful. For me, after such a period of time, there should have been results. Yarden is part of it. This is why I also hold the flag of hope, because Yarden is an example of it. It can be fixed, but it just doesn't make sense that so long have passed and part of us is still there.
Am 1. September bargen israelische Einheiten 6 getötete Geiseln aus einem Tunnel im südlichen Gazastreifen und brachten sie zurück nach Israel. 329 Tage nach dem 7. Oktober. Eine von ihnen ist die Schwester von Liris Schwager Alon, Carmel Gatt. Das israelische Militär geht davon aus, dass die 6 Geiseln 2 bis 3 Tage vor ihrer Bergung exekutiert wurden. Das Interview mit Liri Roman wurde am 30. August aufgezeichnet. Jeela David war für ein zweites Gespräch nicht zu erreichen. Ihr Bruder Eviatar, der am 7. Oktober vom Nova Musikfestival entführt wurde, wird immer noch im Gazastreifen vermutet. Wie viele der 101 im Gazastreifen verbliebenen Geiseln noch am Leben sind, ist nicht bekannt. Redaktionsschluss für diese Sendung war der 3. Oktober 2024. Es sprachen Irene Baumann und Roman Schamow.